And there's my mom. If you know her, she'd say, I haven't got any abilities, so I can go with that one. And so God called her, and she met my dad, and they went on with New Tri's mission, felt called to the jungles of Papua New Guinea. And so my parents began to live amongst these people, learn their language, learn their culture. Totally primitive people. Unless somebody went and incarnated themselves amongst them, they would never hear about Jesus. And so from the time I was 3 years old, we went and lived amongst these people. Animistic people. They worshiped the spirits of the trees and their ancestors, the gardens. Everything in their physical life relates to the spiritual world. And so they live in fear of the spirits. They have no concept for God. There's no word for grace in their language. So how do you explain the concept of grace, let alone that this language has never been written down? And so New Tri's mission for 70 years since it began has fine-tuned the training for missionaries when they go into these situations to learn the culture, learn their language, using phonetics, write the language down by what they hear, and then from there create an alphabet for the people so they can begin to read and write themselves. Then you got to teach them how to read and write, meanwhile translating the Bible so that one day they can read the Word of God for the first time. My parents began that work with the Dom people, D-O-M, in the mountains of Papua New Guinea in 1973-74. We had co-workers who joined us when I was 8 years old, Jim and Judy Burdett from California. I just saw them a couple weekends ago. They're on furlough right now. Jim and Judy joined us when I was 8 years old, and they're still there, still serving faithfully. The New Testament was just completed 2 months ago. Praise God. And so now they're on furlough, and they're getting ready to print the Bibles to take them back to the Dome people that they might receive the Word of God for the very first time. And so this is the background by which God has given me. And I thank God for that, because I got to see people who, as they began to learn how to read and write and began to read portions of Scripture for themselves, how the Word of God began to become alive, no longer having to fear the evil spirits and having to do all kinds of superstitious things and incantations and idol worship. Because as the Word of God comes alive for you, it comes alive for them in the exact same way. And so New Tri's mission begins with creation to Christ. How, you can't go walking into a village, learn the language and culture, and start saying, Jesus loves you. And for God so loved the world. Well, who's God? And who's Jesus? It'd be like me coming up to you and saying, you know, if you believe in Wadu, you'll have eternal life. Who the heck is Wadu? You know, you have to lay that foundation. And yet many times that's how even in our own culture here, we try and ram Jesus as quickly as possible. And you know, most people in our culture, although it's beginning to change, still have some bit of a religious background and understanding of God. But when you have no concept, you begin as God did when He gave us the Scriptures, beginning with the Father and leading up to the Son, beginning with creation, you know, sharing those key stories, those redemptive stories, building blocks, laying foundations, so that sin begins to become heavy on the people. They see how man tried to make the gap to God, to bridge that gap by covering themselves like Adam and Eve, or works, or religion. And so as the foundations are taught of redemptive stories, a blood sacrifice, they're following along with pictures, they see that God accepted Abel's sacrifice and not Cain's. And so they see that a blood sacrifice was necessary. You fast forward to when the Passover, and they're coming out of Egypt, and there's blood being put on the doors, and the death angel passed over because there was blood on the doors. They begin to see that faith is required, and there's a need for a blood sacrifice. They haven't yet heard about Jesus until maybe 6 months down the road. Now comes the day when they hear the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and they start getting excited. This is the one. This is the one we've been waiting for. And so that foundation is important, of laying that foundation from creation to Christ, and a church is established. And so I praise God that He allowed me and my family to grow up in that environment where missions became a part of my life, my blood, if you will. And so I met my wife that God was preparing in Port Perry, Ontario, a cute little Dutch girl. She had no idea that one day she would meet Tarzan, or as she calls me sometimes, Tarzan met Jane. But you know what? My wife, totally different background. She grew up in the jungles of Port Perry, if you will. Different jungle altogether, a nominal Christian home. Saw the hypocrisy within the home. Really went to church once in a while, but turned away from Jesus altogether, went off to Sir Sanford College in Peterborough. And I wish you could see the pictures here because she is cute. And, you know, God gave her to me. But just, again, try and picture this cute little Dutch girl that God had his hand on. And she didn't even know it. She went to Sir Sanford Fleming in Peterborough, got working in a bar, became on the verge of becoming an alcoholic, gambling away the proceeds she'd make in the bar. She had no idea that her mom, who was a very private believer, was praying, fasting and praying every Friday for 3 years, that God would get a hold of her daughter's life. And so for those of you who are parents, continue to pray for your children. But she would tell you that it was like time stood still one night there in the bar as all of a sudden her eyes were opened. And she's like, what am I doing? My life's going down the tubes. She said to her boss, she said, I'm out of here, I'm done, I quit. He's like, what do you mean you quit? She said, I got to get out of here. She quit her job that night. She called her mom. Her mom was in tears. She could hardly talk. She said, can I come home? Within 2 weeks, she went from the bar to Bible school. She met with an old friend that she, you know, used to call a Bible thumper. But she was so hungry, and Heather said, you know, just come with me for even just one semester to New Tries Mission Bible School, where I'm going in Jackson, Michigan. And so within a short period of time, she was there. She didn't own any dresses. She had to go out and buy dresses. She'd even sneak off once in a while to the pub to get a drink. You know, and honestly, when they opened up their Bibles the first morning at Bible school, she raised her hand and said, I didn't get one, thinking it was a textbook, but somehow she missed it. She didn't even have her own Bible. But what God has done with her life. And so God had his plan. Again, the Christian life, I believe, can truly be summed up with the word receive. And as we're obedient to the Lord, we receive what he has for us. We felt at that point in time called to maybe continue on with New Tries Mission to go back to Papua New Guinea. I took her back there in 97. And, you know, for me, it was like so excited, thinking, okay, Lord, this is it. You're going to convince us of this, and we're going to come back into training. But God had other plans for our lives. We came back from that trip, and I felt so frustrated. I felt like I was trying to make things happen of how I wanted to serve God. And God began to speak to my heart and say, Lord, and said, Martin, are you living for your own plans or are you living for me? I have different plans than yours. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 began to become so real to my life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, not just some of it. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. And I began to pray to the Lord and say, Lord, if this verse isn't true, then nothing of this is true. You said this. And I believe God loves it when we tell him his words back to him. Because that's holding on to his promises when everything else seems hopeless, when you cannot see that is faith. And so I began to say, Lord, prove these words to me. And God began to direct. And we actually got a book out of a yard sale. Some of you have probably heard this testimony, a few of you, but we got a book of a yard sale called Road to Reality. And I had begun to pray, Lord, give me the real thing. So just the title struck me, Road to Reality, Coming Home to Jesus from the Unreal World. It was a book by K.P. Yohannan, the founder of Gospel for Asia. And that was the first we were introduced to Gospel for Asia. And it blew me away, because I knew how effective it was to raise up nationals in countries where, especially where we cannot go. And the whole Indian subcontinent and how God was raising up national laborers who were willing to give their lives, who already knew the language, who already knew the culture. And to a long story, I'll keep it short, but God began to work in our hearts and we knew that he was calling us to serve with Gospel for Asia. And that was 14 years ago. And we were sent out from Port Perry Baptist to Stony Creek to work at the head office of Gospel for Asia there. And that was 14 years of God raising us up and eventually becoming Director of Development for Gospel for Asia Canada, traveling and sharing from Vancouver to Newfoundland. What a privilege to be a part of the body of Christ on so many levels. You know, honestly, the body of Christ is like 101 flavors of ice cream. There's so many different flavors, and I got to appreciate different ones that, you know, I get to meet you here tonight. Otherwise, I would never meet you till eternity. And so the privilege I've had to be a window by which to help God's people see a lost world. Whether it's 3 billion people across Asia, or whether it's remote tribal groups, smaller in number, but still have no opportunity here unless somebody goes to them. So I want to share one verse tonight to highlight Matthew 24, 14. And I can just read this. You can certainly turn there if you want to. Because this verse has become
very real to me. Matthew 24:14. Jesus said, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." Do you realize that this verse is just packed with so much truth? This gospel. There is no other gospel. There's no other name under heaven given to men by which we can be saved. This gospel must be preached. And God has ordained preaching by which for men to hear. Romans 10 says, "How can they call on him on whom they have never ever heard? And how can they hear unless somebody preaches? And how can they preach unless they be sent?" God has foreordained all these things. This gospel, it must be preached, and in all nations. And that word nations is actually ethnos, people groups. God is being very specific here. As you look at, step back from creation and what God was doing since the foundation of the world, God charged Adam and Eve, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." It was God's plan from the very beginning that the whole world would be filled with people. And of course, through sin, that didn't happen, and through the flood, God began again through Noah. And the same charge, more or less, "Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth." God was going to ensure that His command was fulfilled. And again, because of sin, and so the Tower of Babel, where God caused languages of all kinds, and so the people would finally be spread throughout the whole earth. In fact, those who believe in evolution and all that, they have no explanation for how all the languages came to be. Especially when you look at a country like Papua New Guinea. 600 different languages in that one nation of 4 million people. Distinct languages. Some of them don't even relate to each other. I honestly wonder if at the Tower of Babel, God just went, and He actually moved the people. Because it doesn't look like they spread and evolved. But God ensured that the whole world would be filled with people. And then you fast forward to Abraham. And from your seed, all nations on earth will be blessed. And again, that word is nations, ethnos, people groups. It's where we get our word ethnicity from. Can you hear what I'm saying? God's plan is not just for masses of people, but that all these people groups would be reached with the gospel. And then Jesus says, Matthew 24:14, "This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations," ethnos, people groups. It's God's desire that every people group, that some from every tongue and tribe and nation, be represented around His throne. Christ challenged the disciples, "All authority has been given to me, therefore go into all nations," ethnos, people groups. Then you see Revelation 5:7, "I saw some from every tongue and tribe and nation," ethnos, people groups. God's plan is for the nations. And that's why I'm so excited that in December of last year, God confirmed in our hearts as we were praying and waiting on Him that He was actually calling us out of Gospel for Asia back to serve with New Tribes Mission. Again, it's a long story. I praise God for what's happening with Gospel for Asia. But God, I never could have dreamed that God would bring us full circle back to our roots. We came to find out that actually some of the leadership at NTM have been praying our name specifically, saying, "God, we need help in this area of development and public relations." And we knew that God was unsettling us. And we read a verse from Isaiah 43, "Behold, I am doing a new thing." And so God has brought us full circle back to New Tribes Mission to help in the area of ensuring that every tribal group, every people group, some quite small in the hundreds, some large in the thousands, but isolated, remote, in all kinds of parts of the world, Africa, South Asia, South Pacific, South America, that they have an opportunity to hear. But they never will unless somebody's trained and goes. And again, I wish you could see all the pictures that I had here for you. But New Tribes Mission began just over 70 years ago. In 1942, it was founded by a man named Paul Fleming. And Paul went to Malaysia, again, just before World War II, and he was gripped with the reality of people groups hidden away, isolated in the jungle, forgotten by the world, that they would never hear unless somebody learned their language and their culture. And so in 1942, the first 10 missionaries were sent to South America,
where they began with Bolivia was the first field they went to. And now in over 70 years, New Tribes Mission has become the second largest faith mission, if you will. About 3,000 missionaries worldwide, all with the goal of seeing tribal groups reached with the gospel. And so I praise God that He's called us to be a part of a team to ensure that what Jesus said here in Matthew 24:14 comes to fulfillment. Look at that. That's us. So we're going to do this like chipmunk style here and go, and just keep flicking through because hopefully they're paying attention. Just keep flicking through and I'll keep talking and they can catch up. Although I might interject here now, actually. That's the school that we rated. Go back for a second. You know, it's interesting. Go back one more. It's interesting in this day of cell phones. I mean, we had one opportunity. That's me and my brother there with the two little kids. Clothes were beginning to come in. The one boy is trying to figure out what he's wearing. If you go forward a slide, that's our school. And the next slide, you'll see that we had an opportunity once a week to talk to our parents by two-way radio. We had 15 minutes. So my twin brother had 5 minutes, I had 5 minutes, and my older sister had 5 minutes. So in between all the and the overs, if the weather was good, you know, you got to have about 2.5 minutes maybe. And of course, everybody can hear, and so, you know, you don't really have any private conversation. But that was life for us. We had that one opportunity, 10, 14 weeks at a time away from our parents from the time we were 6 years old. But God's grace was on our lives then, and He enabled us. Because that's what it took in order for the Dome people to hear the gospel. If you want to keep flicking through, you'll see the two-way radio there. Keep going. You'll see my father beginning to learn the language and the culture. Just keep it moving. Again, just the people being animistic, calling from the spirits, calling the spirits of the gardens to come and bless the wedding. And you'll see some pictures here of a wedding that was taking place. Just to give you an idea of the culture. Just keep flicking through. Thanks, Dean. You'll see here how my mother was teaching literacy. In the next slide, you'll see how my father is beginning to teach. You can see his little cartoon there of the story of Noah and how people are learning how there's only one door, there's only one way. And they haven't heard about Jesus yet, but they're already beginning to understand there's only one way into the ark, only one door by which you can be saved. You'll see some pictures as they follow along and a church that is established. And now a picture of us being baptized amongst our people. Now you get to see this cute little girl that God's preparing. Again, just go quickly through these slides. That's where we're sent out from Port Perry. Jacques, you remember that? Yeah. Being sent out from Port Perry, sent to Gospel for Asia. A couple more slides here. We're about to catch up here to where this is the new Tribes Mission headquarters, Durham, Ontario. Been there since 1969. Beautiful campus. There's a jungle camp off in the trees where, as part of the missionary training, they'll spend 6 weeks using poles, tarps, rope, and families with kids, students, you know, young and old, will live up there for 6 weeks preparing to live remotely as part of the training. It's a unique place. Come visit sometime. We have an open house every summer for people to see. And Jesus is King. There you go. Next slide. We'll take it up from here. Next slide, please. Just fast forward through this. God's plan, that all of creation, that the whole world will be filled with people. And Revelation 5:7, I saw some from every tongue and tribe and nation. And this is what we're working towards. I love this statement. John Stott says this, His authority on earth allows us to dare to go to all the nations. His authority in heaven gives us our only hope of success. This is the first night of the missions conference. This is the first night of the missions conference. This is what it's all about, folks. His authority on earth allows us to dare to go to all the nations. All authority is given to me, therefore go. And His authority in heaven gives us our only hope of success. And so Jesus says in Matthew 24:14, this gospel will be preached in all nations, and then the end will come. And how many of you are looking forward to the end? I know I am. But we have a job to do, and it's happening. We're going to go fairly quickly through this. If you go to the next slide. I love how in Galatians 4:4, It says, in the fullness of time, God brought forth his son. God had the stage perfectly set through the Roman Empire, who had conquered militarily. And so all the known world at the time, roads established, one government, more or less one language that was being developed. The Greeks had conquered culturally. And so there's one language by which the gospel could spread. God had prepared so that the gospel could spread rapidly. Soldiers being brought in from different parts of the empire and then traveling, and so the gospel was taken with them. In the fullness of time, God brought forth his son. Now look at this next passage, Acts 17, 26 to 27. I love this, because as you look at the nations today, you look at how what's happening in Ukraine with Russia taking over Crimea, you look at what's happening with ISIS in the Middle East, you look at the boundaries of the nations being changed, and this is what it says in Acts 17, 26. From one man, it's what we already said, he made all the nations, ethnos, people groups, that they should inhabit the whole earth. It was God's plan from the beginning. He marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from any one of us. Praise God! He's never up there going, oh my goodness, I never saw that coming. He's never taken by surprise. So pray when you see the nations and the boundaries changing, because God is moving that men might seek him. Do you realize there's more Muslims coming to Christ in the last 40 years than the last 1,400 years combined? Because God is moving and shaking the nations. We don't have to fear. We know the end of the story. If you go to the next slide, you'll see, I mean, how many languages are in the world today? 6,900 living languages. Many of them only have portions of the Bible. About 2,200 of those 6,900 languages still don't even have one word. And God gave us his word for us to read it. And so 2,200 people groups are still waiting for even one word of God to them in their own language. Click it again. This is the goal of New Tribes Mission. Along with church planting and learning language and the culture, the goal is to establish a mature church with a New Testament for sure. Not the whole Bible, but the New Testament, so they can read the word of God for themselves. So we go to the next slide. How long does this take? You think of the process by which somebody's called. Imagine if somebody was called from your midst here as a result of the missions conference. Went into training with New Tribes Mission. 18 months. Bible school before that. If you don't have that, it's a prerequisite. In order for you to understand the Word of God and then be trained to do cross-cultural communications and New Testament church planting and learn phonetics and all those tools you need. Teaching the Bible chronologically. And so there's 18 months of training up at the headquarters. And then you go to the mission field after raising your support, and then you meet up with a team, and you pray, and you often learn the national language first. If you go to Colombia, you kind of got to learn Spanish first before you go in to learn the heart of the language of the people you're going to. And so it's a long process, about, you know, 7 to 10 years to when you finally actually begin, having learned the language and the culture, begin to teach from creation to Christ, and a church is born. But keeping that process in mind, look at what God is doing. You go to the next, if you click again there, Dean. Okay. Basically, what's going to say here in a second is on average, every 45 days, a new people group is hearing the gospel. Praise God. A people group that never even heard about Jesus, didn't even know he existed, about every 45 days, a new people group is beginning to hear about Jesus. And so I want to walk through some of those stories with you. Just looking at the last 3 years, and this is only a small portion, but I want to show you what God has done in people groups. You're going to hear some of these people groups probably for the very first time. You probably didn't even know they existed, but God did, and he's raising up people to reach them. Look at this. Again, we'll just go through these fairly quickly. The Munica people in Mozambique. Munica people, they're a Muslim people group. Our missionaries chose purposely that when they moved in amongst the Munica people, they'd make sure there was no offense. They grew beards so as not to offend them. They made sure that their Bibles were brand new with no writing in them, because that would be sacrilegious. They wouldn't eat certain foods in order to make sure there was no offense, because they knew that one day an offense would come, and that offense would be the gospel, the cross of Jesus Christ. And on that day, having laid the foundations from creation to Christ, half the village that they're teaching chose to follow Jesus. Muslim travel group. The other half rejected him. Since then, the king of that people group has come to Christ. the Jamadi in West Brazil, national missionaries. You know, a large portion of the laborers of New Tribes Mission now are, I mean, in Colombia, about two-thirds are national. Brazil, it's nearly all national. Philippines, about 105 missionaries being sent to places like Laos, Cambodia, Kyrgyzstan, Filipino missionaries. And so God is using them powerfully. The Sierra people in Papua New Guinea, they heard the gospel. A church was established. Acolyte, this is Ryan Coleman. I now work with him at the Durham headquarters. But God used him to begin that work. The Wagi in Papua New Guinea in 2012. The Palawano in Philippines, a church has been born there. The Tagbanwa in the Philippines. The BM Island people in Papua New Guinea. There was a cult that got there before we did, and so they're confused. There was syncretism that was caused. Syncretism is a mixture of beliefs. So they were calling on Jesus along with their ancestors. So again, it was so important to lay the foundation of who God is, beginning with the Father and leading them up to the Son. And they now understand. The Deni in West Brazil, 2013, just last year, a church was born. The Bajaranke in Senegal, Africa. Look at this testimony. Next slide here. A Bajaranke man from Senegal says this: when I get home from the field and I get cleaned up, I sit down and I read God's word. We have been so deceived. It's like we've been in the bottom of a pit and then buried in it so that we could never get out of it. But God's word is slowly lifting us out of this pit and opening our eyes. I love the way they say these things. If you go to the next picture, you're going to see the Kora people in Indonesia. This people group is believed that the moment a girl becomes a woman, upon puberty, then an evil spirit invades her body. And so every woman is possessed by an evil spirit. At nighttime when they sleep, sometimes the evil spirit will leave their body. You might see it in the form of some kind of bird, like an owl or something. And if somebody dies, guess whose fault it is? It's the woman. And so women are often beaten and easily disposed of and killed, because it was her evil spirit that caused it. What Satan has done to grip their minds, and so you can understand how when the gospel comes in, it begins to set them free. The Nagi people, the gospel was presented is just early this year in Indonesia. The Imbera, now we're looking at New Testaments. 2011, the Imbera people in Panama got their New Testament. The Lauje in Indonesia, they received their New Testament in 2011. You think of the work that goes years, sometimes 10, 20, 30 years of going to this, getting to this place. West Brazil, the Maku Nadeb, a partnership with Wycliffe, the Manobo in Philippines, the Inaru in Papua New Guinea, 2012, the Siawi, Linda Craig. You can go to our website and see the people getting the Bible. Is a huge celebration as the Bibles are being flown in. She's almost blind, but she prayed and said, Lord, don't let me leave until these people get the gospel. Her co-workers from the States were on furlough a few years ago. They were hit by a truck. The youngest boy was killed. The older one was paralyzed from the waist down. The mother had to have multiple surgeries on her back because she broke her back. And people thought, there's no way you're ever going to go back. But they prayed and God gave them incredible grace. And they're back there with a paralyzed son, a wife with a broken back, living in the jungles. And you should see the tears on their faces and the people are getting the word of God. And they'd say it was worth it all. The commitment of that family, praise God. The Yembe in Papua New Guinea. Amazing, we have a half hour video on our website. You should go see it. Listen to this. This man named Pafi from the Yembe tribe. I'm so upset. All these years I have never been told these things. I always knew there was something wrong. I have always felt like I wasn't hearing the whole truth. I could just feel it. Now when I go home at night, I feel a burning inside from the teaching. It's burning my stomach because I know it's true. And what our leaders were telling us was lies. Lies, that's all I was ever told. But now, for the first time, my stomach is burning because God's truth is torching it. Isn't that awesome? These are simple tribal people. Sometimes they speak with such, so profound compared to those of us who take the word of God for granted. The Hamtai people, this is Tom and Corrine Palmer. He went to New Guinea when he was 18 years old, and he's now 80 years old. At 70, they're going to retire and leave the Hamtai people. And they came to him and said, you know what, Tom, our language has changed. And kind of when you translate it back then, you know, your skills and all that weren't quite so good. Can you please translate it again? At 70 years old, they decided to stay. And for 10 more years, they just completed the new Hamtai translation. Praise God for Tom and Corrine Palmer. The Palawano in Philippines received the New Testament this year. The Budik, a Muslim tribe in West Africa, will get the New Testament this year. The Wake, again this year, in New Guinea. The Mako, Venezuela, praise God. This is Jim and Judy Burdett, our co-workers who came and joined my parents. Been there almost 40 years. And God has blessed their faithfulness. And my prayer is that God will take Tammy, myself, and our kids back to New Guinea next summer. That we can be there with our people and see the legacy of what my parents began. So you can pray that God will provide for that. It'd be awesome. You go to the next slide. I'm going to finish up with a couple things here. New Tribes has received over 100 letters from different people groups over the years from New Guinea and other parts of the world requesting missionaries, and the answer is there's no one to send you. Here's one. It's not that long ago. I'm Eric Kasawa. I'm speaking for my people again. I'm writing for the seventh time to ask if you'll come to my village. If you're willing to come, then please, in the name of Jesus, we want someone to really come and learn our language. We're continuing to demand this. The people are saying that you must come. I'm saying this again. I think you all didn't get my first six letters. If not, okay, now is my seventh letter. I'm writing again. It really must bear fruit. The people are crying for missionary and for God's talk. Plenty of my letters asking for missionaries have been wasted. Here's a tribal group that's begging for the word of God, begging to hear the way of truth. And there's no one to send them. And so the cry is to pray the Lord of the harvest, as was read earlier. Pray the Lord of the harvest to raise up laborers. It's amazing to me that when Jesus saw the harvest, he didn't lay out some incredible strategy till the end of the age. But his answer was, pray the Lord of the harvest to raise up laborers. And I pray there'll be some here amongst yourselves. I was going to show a video earlier. It's unfortunate it didn't play. But just how there's a young family that's right now serving at our Bible school in Jackson, Michigan. God's using his skills as repointing, like doing the mortar in between bricks. That's his job. He's working in maintenance to keep a Bible school going so that students can study and go on to the mission field. And all of our skills, accountants, teachers, builders, whatever, there's nothing that cannot be used in missions. And what a privilege if God would use us to help see whatever part we have to see unreached people group reach with the gospel. This last slide, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not wanting that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's interesting that verse hit me years ago, because it says, he's long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish. We are his hands and feet. He's ordained that it's through the preaching of the gospel, and that this gospel will be preached in all nations, ethnos, people groups, and the end will come. And you see that here. What's the bride of Christ look like? Just leave that picture up there. This is a Moi tribe in Papua, owned by Indonesia, the left half of the island of Papua New Guinea. People still wearing just gourds. Hard to believe in this day and age. Almost totally naked. I don't know. Will this video play? Yeah? Let's try. You're going to see the testimony of a Moi man who's almost blind, but what the Word of God has done in his life. And it would be so awesome if this plays. If not, I'll give it to you because it is worth seeing. It's 4 minutes. This blind guy's almost blind, but spiritually you can see more clearly than most people.
One of our neighbors, an older couple, has come to know Jesus as their Savior. This has been primarily through the vibrant testimony of their married daughter and teenage son. I recently asked the husband, a frail old man, to share his testimony. Years ago, he was blinded in one eye by a falling branch. Now, from a hard life and old age, his other eye is also failing. Despite being nearly blind, you'll be amazed to hear how well this man can truly see. Here are Dimapatai's unscripted thoughts on Jesus.
Can you make it bigger so we can read it?
Wow, big.
You know what? We'll play it another time.
It's going to
be bigger so they can read it.
Can we have a minute of time?
There you go.
Minute of time. 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 Minute
By a falling branch. Now from a hard life and old age, his other eye is also failing, despite being used as their savior. This has been primarily through the vibrant testimony of their married daughter and teenage son. I recently asked the husband, a frail old man, to share his testimony. Years ago, he was blinded in one eye by a falling branch. Now from a hard life and old age, his other eye is also failing. Despite being nearly blind, you'll be amazed to hear how well this man can truly see. Here are Dhammapada's unscripted thoughts on Jesus.
Man, you're about... May Jesus be one of my God, one of my God.
Yes. I want to go.
Isn't that precious? He's blind, but he can see more clearly than most people. Now the Word of God has come alive. The Word of God is now in his own language for him to read, because God now speaks his language. This gospel must be preached in all nations, and then the end will come. And it's harvest time, as was read earlier in John 4. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Do you not say there are 4 months, and then comes the harvest? You keep saying there's 4 months, and then the harvest, lots of time. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look to the fields, for now they are already ripe for harvest. And if he said it 2,000 years ago, it's even more true today, for now they are ripe for harvest. And so my challenge to you, brothers and sisters, at the beginning of this missions conference, is to lift up your eyes. Otherwise, we're going to miss it. Lift up your eyes away from your own problems and struggles and dreams and desires and ambitions and goals and retirement and all those things that consume our lives. Yes, they're important. But compared to much of the world who does not know Jesus' name, many of those things are nothing. 'Tis only one life, it will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Do you believe that? You see, so often we focus on resources, but, you know, in regards to money, but time is the most precious resource we have, and we're spending it every single day, and you can never get it back. How you spend your days is how you spend your week, is how you spend your month, is how you spend your year, is how you spend your life. You can save up money to make more money, but have you ever tried saving up time? You can only spend it. And God is worthy of every moment of our time. Whatever He's called you to, I pray that you receive that from Him in the next few weeks. And God will show you what He has for your life. Maybe it's a total redirection. Maybe He's calling you to serve a neutralized mission. We'll take it. Whatever age, this gospel will be preached in all nations, and the end will come. Let's pray.
Loving Father, I thank you so much for this church. I thank you, Lord, for the partnership in the gospel. I thank you for the love and unity. Lord, I thank you for what you've done in providing of this building, but it's only a tool by which to see the nations reached. Pray you provide for this church according to your purposes for them, that they might receive as individuals and as a congregation what you have for their lives. At this time in history, in Canada, Lord, from here the nations would be reached. I pray that you'd call people this next few weeks, month, year, Lord, to give their lives full time for your purposes. They would see the privilege that they have. And that everyone, whatever you've called them to do, would see that they are your ambassadors in a whole new way. And Lord, I pray for Jacques and Tatiana, the leadership team here. Lord, bless them, give them wisdom. Protect them, Lord, from the evil one as they lead by example. Lord, I thank you for this time together. I thank you, Lord, for the support and how they are behind Tammy and I and the kids. And Lord, we just pray your blessing in all these things for your purposes as we look forward one day to being with those like Dimapatai from every tongue and tribe and nation around your throne. Lord, stamp eternity on our hearts that we might live for eternal things and not for what is temporal. In Jesus' precious name, amen.